Good morning. When the preacher asks you to preach in his stead, you say yes. So with that being said, Mark asked me to preach today, and I need to keep up the practice at least a little bit. So here I am today, and I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 25th to the 35th verse. And even though it is Christ the King Sunday, I thought it was appropriate as a post-Black Friday message. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Here ends the scripture reading this morning. It has already begun. Thanksgiving is early this year, and so before Advent can even get started, before Advent can even get out of the gate, we have begun the mad dash to get gifts in time for Christmas. We've begun to worry about what we're going to be getting for this relative and that friend. We think about, what message will our gift send? Will they really like it? Will it send a message about the status I'd like to have with my boss or colleague? We are consumed already by the shopping bug. And yes, we are all guilty, every one of us in here, including me. But I want to share something interesting with you this morning. Over the Thanksgiving vacation, my boys and my hubby and I, we set up the tree. We got ready for Christmas. We did all of those Christmassy things. And the boys asked if they could watch a Christmas movie. So what better movie to watch at the beginning of Christmas than the live-action version of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? In this particular version, if you haven't seen it, the Grinch actually visits Whoville before he steals Christmas. And he kind of tries to give them a message, but also tries to cause some turmoil when he says that, do you know where your Christmas gifts go after Christmas? Do you know where they go? In your garbage! In fact, he can be quoted as saying, I could hang myself with all the ugly Christmas neckties that are sent to the dump. Now, while this is supposed to be funny, there is some real-life truth to it. I once asked a worker at Goodwill what their busiest time of year was. And their answer was twofold. Early spring cleanout, and right after Christmas. Right after Christmas. How tragic is this? Now, if our gift is not at Goodwill, where will it go? Will it go hung in some closet, never to see the light of day again, into a storage unit that our loved one has purchased because they already have too much stuff? Or will it actually be used? Now, I know some of you are saying, I ask for the list, what they want, and only get what's on the list. And others of you are thinking, I could ask for a list, but then I don't know if they'll actually send me the list. I think this type of thinking, while somewhat helpful, goes against what Jesus is trying to tell us in our passage for this morning. And within it, Jesus is saying, stop worrying. Stop worrying about what you will eat, what you will drink, where you will live. But in particular, I find that it's very fascinating that these words can go along with Christmas. Stop worrying about what you will eat. Don't worry about what's going to be in your Christmas feast. Don't worry about who's going to bring what or where we're going. Because a study done in California from the year 2001 to 2010 showed that about half of the middle-income families within the study had an overabundance of food. An overabundance. So much so that they have a second refrigerator or freezer, usually located in the garage, and a second pantry for stockpiling. And the really sad part about the study showed that half of the food that was stored would go bad or reach its expiration date before being consumed. We need to stop worrying about what we will eat or where we will eat. We have become so consumed by the need to be prepared that we forget to live. We forget what we are truly thankful for, especially coming off of Thanksgiving. Yes, there are those who worry about food, but Jesus isn't talking to the poorest of the poor in this passage. Jesus is talking to those who have an abundance already. Stop worrying about what you will wear. This was a big thing back in Jesus' time. What you wore indicated your status. To a degree, we have that today, but not to the same extent that they did. But it's still interesting to me that we all still worry about what we will wear. Within the same study about the food that I mentioned before, our homes are so full of clothes that they are piled high on dressers where they don't fit, thrown into an unused bathtub, or in a mound on the closet floor. We have so much. Yes, some of you are giggling because I'm sure that's some of your houses, right? Guilty as charged, okay? We have so much, yet I can guarantee you that so many of the things that we have, we won't wear within the year's time. And how many of us have said, even with all the clothes in our closet, but I don't have anything to wear? Yes? One of the biggest complaints in this study, and it wasn't even a complaint so much as it was an expression of anxiety and stress, was parents who complain about the stress and anxiety that came from having too many toys. Yes, let me say it again, too many toys. I can tell you from personal experience that when you start having children, not only do the children take over your lives, but their things do too. Why must we always be so consumed with the hunt for the latest and greatest that we forget to live? Now, I can already feel it happening. The tension is starting to mount. So I'm going to add to this stop worrying campaign by saying, stop worrying about what you will give this Christmas. Stop worrying, breathe, and pray. As we approach the Christmas season, the Advent season even, remember that Christmas isn't about the fancy gifts, the pretty lights, or the gourmet feast. This was brought on years after the birth of Jesus. The very first Christmas was about giving people hope. It was the simplest and yet the most important gift of all, God's presence with us. Even in our readings for this morning, we read about the presence of God being with us as Christ reigns as King. But the Gospel of John even says that the word logos, Christ himself, was involved in the creation of the world. Now, when I look back at the creation of the world, the story of creation as it's written in our scripture, I can think of one thing that God has given us and continues to be a reminder of God's presence with us today. We have it wherever we go, with whatever we are doing, and it is a gift that is often overlooked. It is the gift of breath. You see, when God created Adam, in order to give this creature life, God bent down and breathed into it. We do this every minute of every day. For some of us, it is harder than others. But every breath we have is precious. It is a constant reminder of God's love and faithfulness. It is there when we think about it and when we're not thinking about it. This simple little thing is so important, and yet it is constantly overlooked. Jesus' coming was no different. Jesus didn't come in a palace. Jesus didn't come surrounded by riches and courtiers and all of those fancy things. And Jesus didn't come waltzing into town immediately without ever being born, just God coming to earth. Didn't happen. Jesus came into the world so tiny and vulnerable. And yet, even in infancy, he was already changing the world. He was bringing hope to those who had very little. So what does this mean for us today? Well, we should do as Jesus tells us to do. Stop worrying about tomorrow and what it will bring. Stop worrying about this gift or that gift. What can you do? What can we do to bring hope into our home this coming season? What can we do to bring hope to our community, our country, and the world? And we need to stop thinking about what our family will think. We need to get them involved. We need to show them that bringing hope is the most important thing. And how can we do that? We need to have faith, show love, and remember the real reason for the upcoming season: Jesus Christ, our King. Let us go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for your Son Jesus and his example of what it truly means to give this season. We pray, O God, that you would help us to stop worrying about all of the pressures that we place upon ourselves and find the gratitude for all of the things that you have already given to us. Help us, O God, as we bring hope, joy, and love to the people of this world this season. In Jesus' name, amen.